For those of you who spent very much time around a Baptist church, and for those of you that don't, I will explain kind of the way that we do things in a Baptist church. We do things pretty well democratically. We have business meetings, and we vote and all those types of things. And so at this time, based on their testimonies, based on the questions, I would like to call in order to this business meeting as we make decisions as it pertains to the church in its entirety. We do so in the form of a business meeting. So I'd like to call that meeting to order at this time. I would entertain a recommendation from the council as it pertains to the ordaining of these men. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Everyone in favor of the council, do so by saying amen.
Amen.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Based upon the recommendation of this council, I would call for a motion from the church to authorize the council to continue with the ordination service this morning.
I would move to continue with the ordination service.
We have a move to continue. Do I have a second from the church? Brother Ernie, second. All in favor, do so by saying amen. Opposed, same sign. What we're going to begin to do is actually what takes place in the book of Acts, chapter 6. Really, the forerunners or the precursors to what we would consider our deacons today is what they had done. Is there was some need in the church, as has already been mentioned, for helpers to come alongside the pastors, if you will, of that time, to take care of a lot of the needs in the church, so that the pastoral staff could spend their time dedicated mostly in prayer and study of God's word. And what they did is they said, choose seven from among you. That's really what has taken place in this church, really before I even got here, that these men have been set apart by this church to begin the process of proving and testing to become deacons. And what they had done in Acts chapter 6 is, as they had set these men aside, they were approved by the congregation, they were approved by the staff, and they brought them out before them, and they laid hands on them and prayed for them. That's always good, amen? And so that's what we're going to do this morning. Our council, what we're going to do is we're going to begin to gather around these men and their wives, and we're going to lay hands on them. We're going to share a few words of encouragement, and we're going to pray over these men. And so I would ask that you would just be in agreement with us as we lay hands on these men to really symbolically place them into the ministry which God's actually called them to. So I would invite our council to come. If there's some encouraging words that you'd just like to personally share with them, do that. And as we complete that part, we will begin the process of praying for them. If y'all would come. Amen. Thank you, Brother Tom. We appreciate you this morning. Appreciate so many of you that have helped me this morning in various areas, and you know who you are, and I appreciate you very much. I really want to share something really quick with you this morning as it pertains to this idea of ordaining these two men. Some of you are wondering this morning, why on earth would you take a Sunday morning service and do something like this? It's so out of the ordinary. If there's anyone visiting here, they may never come back because it's not what they expect when they come in for a church service. Amen? Here's why. These two men that we have ordained this morning are now this church's deacons. And these two deacons, you are now their church. And so it's important that not only we be in support of them, but they also are presented in front of the church that they're called to serve. And so if we're going to do that, I don't think we ought to do it on some off time at the chance that most of you won't come back. Amen? And so what I'd like to do this morning is just really briefly, and I'm promising, Brother Tom, briefly, just want to share some things as it pertains to, I want to speak to these two men and their wives this morning, and I also want to speak to the church. All that being said, just because I'm speaking primarily to them, that the application is not made for the entirety of the church, and vice versa. So as we do that this morning, let's look to the Lord, ask Him to bless our time, ask Him to speak to us, and we will move right along. Father God, I thank You this morning. I thank You for what's been represented here. Father, I thank You for the commissioning of these two men to serve and in Big Heaven Baptist Church, Father, as deacons. Father, I pray that You would strengthen them, strengthen their wives, strengthen their family, Father, in such a way that as they begin serving You in this new capacity, that You would provide a hedge of protection around them, Father, namely in their homes. Father, oftentimes when we step out on a limb to serve You, Father, the old enemy wants to rise up against us and say, you know what, hey, I'm good just right there where you're at. I don't want you to move any closer to the Lord. Just stay right back here where you are. Protect their family, Father. Oftentimes that's the easiest way that he can destroy the ministry of a minister is to destroy his home. And so, Father, protect their home. Father, I pray that You would strengthen them as they begin to walk hand in hand alongside the other deacon body that's here, that there may just be a sweet spirit of unity, that as they help lead this church, Father, that You may speak to their hearts in a clear manner, that we may be able to go forward, Father, in such a way that's honoring and glorifying You. Father, I pray that as they have accepted this commission that You've given them to become deacons, Father, to help serve this church, Father, I pray that You would strengthen them to be able to see needs, Father, that that maybe some of the rest of us may just not see, that they may be able to be used by You to help meet the needs in this congregation. So, Father, strengthen them, strengthen this church as we move forward, Father, that we may be a lighthouse, Father, on a hill, so to speak, that when people say Big Heaven Baptist Church, they might say they love Jesus. And that's really all I want to be said about in my life. And as my life is over, I pray that as it's spoken over my casket, that it may be said that He loved Jesus. Father, bless our time. Do that which only You can. In Jesus' name, amen. Real quick, I promise Brother Tom, we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm sure, hey, bless your heart. Bless your heart. For those of you that don't know what that is one person that's fired up about being in God's house this morning, about being able to read God's Word and the freedom that we get to experience in the United States of America. There's nothing wrong with being a little bit excited about the things of God and the Word of God. Hopefully, whoever you are, you will just become contagious and rub off on everyone else around you. 1 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to read about five little verses, and then we're going to skip over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, and I know these men and their wives have read this and read this and read this, but we're going to read it again. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to too much wine. We could open up a can of worms on that one, but we're not. Not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience, but let these also first be tested. Now, just so that you understand, these men and their families have already been tested. That process was taken care of probably close to 2 years ago. Is that about right? That process began, and because of various circumstances, with the health of Brother Larry and various other things, just this process of ordination has taken quite a long time to take place. And so they've been proven, they've been tested. He says, but then, after they've been tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife. You know, there was something in Scripture about a favorite wife. Is she your favorite wife? Ruling their children in their own house as well. For those who have served well as deacons, obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. First thing this morning, I want to speak to the candidates themselves, but also these apply to all the rest of us as well. So don't look at this morning as though, hey, it's just about these two and it means nothing for me in my life. It's always good when we can come to church and say that message was about somebody else. So just because I'm speaking primarily to them too does not mean that it has no application for our lives. Number one, fellas, it says that we're to be reverent. That word reverent literally means that we ought to conduct ourselves, that we ought to be worthy of respect. Worthy of respect. Now, I didn't say anywhere in there that it says that we are deserving of respect, and that we ought to make sure that everyone knows that we're deserving of respect. It says that I ought to conduct myself. You ought to conduct yourselves in a manner, in such a way that you're worthy of respect. Someone worth that we might say, I want to emulate that guy. I want to be just like him because he conducts himself in such a way that's honoring to Christ. He also says in verse 8, he says, don't be double-tongued. That's always good. Some of you ladies are thanking me that I'm talking to these fellows and not you. No, I'm just kidding. So don't be double-tongued. I read it this way. It says, don't be one that tells tales. Don't be one that would tell tales. In other words, as we serve in the deacon ministry, oftentimes what happens is we're called to people's homes to meet them at their point of need. And being in a position of authority, if you will, oftentimes people will share things with us that they wouldn't share with anyone else. Here's the thing. It needs to stay with us and with no one else. We don't take what this person shares with us and we carry it over to the next person and say, you won't believe what I just had to deal with these people. Amen? We ought to be people that are trustworthy, that whenever they share their heart with us, that we would grieve with them and that we would rejoice with them, but it would stay with us. We wouldn't be tale-tellers. It also speaks of this, that we would be consistent in the way that we talk. In other words, as we deal with this family and their crisis or this family and their need, that we would be consistent in the exact same way that we would deal with this family and with their need and with this family and their crisis. It says that we're not to be given to too much wine. And to keep from chasing that rabbit, we're going to stay focused. We're going right down the aisle. Let me get to the gist of what that means, that we ought to not allow ourselves to be overcome with anything. Anything that would cause us to not have good control over our mind and heart, whether it be alcohol, drugs, anger, happiness, anything that would get us so overwhelmed that we lose the ability to make good, sound, scriptural, spiritual decisions, we shouldn't be a part of it. Number four, real quick for you fellas, it says that we're not to be greedy for money. I kind of like money. It kind of makes the world go round, does it not? I must be the only one that kind of likes that stuff. Next time y'all get your paycheck, just send it my way. I'll take care of it for you, all right? Where's my buddy? Is Hudson here this morning? Hudson's not here this morning. I wanted to pick on my buddy this morning. I thought he was going to break old Clint back here yesterday. We had a basketball game yesterday, and I think Clint kind of opened his mouth a little quick. probably wish you had said something a little different, didn't you, buddy? Clint promised a certain fee for how many baskets Hudson made, and I think the tally got pretty high. But I kind of like money. I mean, it makes the world go round, but it says not to be greedy for money. What it would say to us as Christians and deacons and staff especially would be one that we would not be so concerned with building our own kingdoms, with our own empires, that we lose sight of the empire and the kingdom that we're supposed to be building. There's nothing wrong with liking money. There's nothing wrong. We have to have it to pay our bills. But if it becomes an interference between us and kingdom work, it is greed. We need to put a stop to it. Number five, and I'll let you fellows off the hook for a moment, is the most important, I believe. We need to be defenders of the gospel. We need to be a defender of the gospel. Verse 9, it says, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. Something that really struck me, we're studying through the book of Acts on Wednesday nights, and if you've not been here for that, you're missing a great blessing. We've made it through the address, beginning into the address of Stephen. Stephen was one of those first, those precursors, those forerunners to the deacon ministry. He was called to serve tables, if you will. But what really got Stephen in trouble, if you know anything about Stephen at all, he was the what? The first martyr. Stephen was stoned to death, not because he served tables, but because Stephen was sold out for the gospel. You say, well, preacher, you want me to be stoned? No, but what I'm saying is we ought to be so committed to the gospel that we ought to be willing to go to the ends of the earth, even to the ends of our lives, for the gospel of Christ. Why? Because Christ did that for us. Wives, real quick, I want to say something to you as well. All of these things that I've just mentioned to the husbands are really applicable for you too as well. It says right there, it says, likewise, their wives must be reverent. Isn't that what it said that the husbands were to do? They're not to be slanderers. They're not to be gossips. They're not to be those that would backbite and talk about other folks behind their back. Oftentimes, listen, your husbands are going to share things with you. They just are. And it needs to stay with you. People will say, well, he shouldn't be sharing those things with his wife. Well, my Bible would say that a man's supposed to leave his wife, or to leave his father and mother and be joined with his wife, and the two become one. And so, let me tell you right now, me and my wife pray over a lot of the same things. Because there's times it's such a burden on me, I'm like, honey, I just need you to pray with me on this thing. And so, wives, there's going to be times where your husband's going to share some things with you, and it needs to stay with you, between the two of you. Also, we need to be temperate. That's to be level-minded. That's to be even-keeled. That's, once again, that idea of not letting yourself be overcome with anything. We need to be faithful in all things. Most importantly, ladies, I know from my own personal experience, the greatest asset that you can be to your husband is to be what you have already said this morning, is to be an encouragement to him. I want to share with you real quick. I wish someone had told me this before I entered the ministry. You know, they teach you all you learn the Bible and learn how to preach and to do all these other things, and you know, they tell you all the mechanical stuff. Amen, deacons. Those of you that are here, help me out. They teach you the mechanics of being a deacon. But they don't tell you about the toll of being a deacon. They don't tell you about the cost. They don't tell you what it's going to cost you. I, as I was called to the ministry, one thing that I wish someone would have told me before I ever entered into was this: serving God in the ministry is the most exhausting work you'll ever do. That'll bless you, won't it? Because if you really love people, if you really, really love them, when they hurt, you're going to hurt. When they've lost a loved one and they're grieving, you're going to grieve right alongside them. When they're going through tough times, you're going to feel it. Whenever good times have come, and I mean there's mountaintop experiences, and they're on a high, you're going to be on a high with them because you really love them, because you really care about them. In other words, what I'm saying is you're going to kind of vicariously live their lives with them because you love them so much. And listen to me, it's exhausting. And ladies, it's in those moments that you can be the greatest help to your husband and say, honey, I love you. Honey, let me pray with you. Let me pray for you. Let me encourage you today. Just to be there for them, even if it's just your presence, is the greatest thing that you could ever do for them. That personal advice I gave was that it's the most exhausting work, but I'll promise you this, You'll never experience anything more gratifying than the work of the ministry. I know your wife's special. My wife's special. And I can't put anything above my wife or anyone above my wife other than this, than the privilege of being able to be used by God to bring about salvation, encouragement, whatever it is. Whenever you get to stand back and look at that privilege that God chose to use you and say, wow, look at what he done in that person's life through me. You're never going to get anything more rewarding than that. When you get to stand back and see how God has brought about salvation in someone through someone such as you, and listen, fellas, I know y'all are great guys, but we're still just old hunks of clay that God chooses to use. And when we look at ourselves and say, God, why would you want to use a mess like me to glorify yourself? It's a humbling experience, and it's awful rewarding. So while it's the most exhausting work you'll ever do, it's going to be the most rewarding work you'll ever do. I want to close with an address to the church. Let's look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I've said a little bit to these men. I've said a little bit to their wives. I want to say a little bit to the church this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 12. I'm going to look at three quick things, and we're going to close this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. And the Bible says this, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. So this is all about them this morning, preacher. Why are you bothering us? Well, you know, God's word's an equal opportunity offender. You know, it just is. I charged the church this morning to view these two men, to view the deacons that we have in such a way that they're not them and us, as though all they want to do is tell us what to do. All they want to do is, that's oftentimes how a church looks at the deacon body or the elder body. Oh, they just want to tell all the rest of us what to do. That's not necessarily the case. What I would encourage the church to do this morning is to accept them in the ministry that God's called them. Look there in verse 12. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you, to accept them as God-appointed leaders in this church. That would may say, well, in my heart as a church member, that, you know, I may have differences of opinions. I may have different likes and dislikes, but I acknowledge that God has appointed them here, and I'm going to accept them as deacons in this church. Number two, we need to appreciate them. That'll go a long way in just about everything. We need to appreciate them. It says, we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you. Once again, I've already said, it's work. It's exhausting to do the work of the ministry. They're laboring among you. We need to appreciate them. We need to recognize them in such a way. Let me illustrate it to you this way. Oftentimes, leadership in the church is a dumping ground for people's problems. That'd bless you, won't it? Oftentimes, leadership in the church is a dumping ground for people's problems. And oftentimes, that's the only response that we have between leadership in the church or in the congregation, however you want to look at that, is I'm looked at the person that you can come and take and dump your stuff on. Or Brother Cecil, you're the person that we can come dump our stuff on. Or Brother Gary, or Brother Tom, or any type of Sunday school teachers, that you're the person that we can come and unload on. Once again, I've already said that if we truly are called by God to serve in this ministry, if we truly do love people, then we're going to grieve with you, we're going to rejoice with you, we're going to do all these other things. But sometimes, once a year, something, just come and tell us, hey, we appreciate you. These two men, they're coming to serve you. Come and tell them from time to time, hey, we appreciate what you're doing. We thank you for your leadership in this church. We thank you for being there for me. Just a kind word of encouragement to say, man, you're doing a great job. We thank you. And it's not that we're trying to build them up and try to set them up on a pedestal. It's just we're human nature. We need a little encouragement from time to time. Number three, and we'll close, respect and honor them as they help lead this church. Respect and honor them as they help lead this church. Now, we can get in something a little weird if we're not careful, but we're going to do it anyway. In a Baptist church especially, it's different in other denominations, but we're really a deacon-led church. We vote on things as it pertains to business meeting, but we have deacons meetings, and we kind of the deacons and staff of the church, we kind of pray over things and visit about things, and they're really kind of a deacon led. They bring recommendations to the church body, and the church body votes on those types of things. We need to respect and honor that position. Here's where we get in trouble is they're just a bunch of people that want to tell us what to do. And that's not at all the case. There's some churches that are that way. But trust me when I tell you, at least my experience with this church, it's got a great group of leadership that spends time in prayer, that spends time in consideration. And as they attempt to lead this church, if it is lines up with Scripture, if it's scripturally sound, respect their leadership. And respect and honor their leadership. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says this. Hebrews 13, 17 says this. He says, obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. As those who must give an account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. One little word in that statement that we all struggle with, this idea of obeying. And this idea of submitting to the leadership of a church, we're not saying I submit to you as a man, but I submit to God as the one that appointed you there. And so, church, I would encourage you this morning to be a group of people that would encourage your leadership, encourage your deacons, strengthen them, strengthen these two men as they begin this ministry, and do your best to honor them in all that they do, not for their glory, but for the glory of God. But what we're going to do is something a little different this morning, is, you know, as though everything else we've done this morning has not been different. Normally I would give an invitation. I would give an invitation for you to come and accept Christ, and I want to do that this morning. But really what I want to do is an invitation to come and just pray with these two men and their wives. Be an encouragement to them. An invitation to do this, maybe to go grab a deacon that's been serving here for years. And say, you know what, I just appreciate you. I appreciate your wife. Go grab their wife. Say, I just want to pray for you. I just want to thank God for you. Maybe you might want to come grab Brother Tom. Maybe you want to come grab Sister Linda. Say, you know what, sister, I just appreciate you for the service that you've done. Maybe you just want to go across the aisle at someone that's just been an encouragement to you, one that's just been a rock for you, and say, you know what, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you this morning. Maybe this morning the invitation would be nothing more than a group of people coming together collectively and thanking God for one another and praising God for one another and that asking God to bless us as we move forward as one body, that we may be one that would be just a gleaming light in the world that's suffering in darkness. Maybe there's something else that the Lord's had on your heart and you just need to come pray. I don't know what it is, but we're just going to give the Lord an opportunity to do in our hearts this morning what He would lead us to do. So if y'all would stand with me, we're going to have a time of prayer. Then we're going to have a time of invitation. Father God, I thank You this morning. Once again, I thank You for these men. I thank You for their wives. Father, I thank You for the outline, if you will, in Scripture as to how our deacons are supposed to conduct themselves. Ultimately, how we all are as Your children are supposed to conduct ourselves. Father, I thank You for the instruction of the wives. And Father, I thank You for the admonishment, Father, to the church that we ought to be ones that would submit ourselves, Father, to those that You've set above us. Father, I pray that we'd be committed to praying for one another, and we wouldn't be a people that would beat one another down, but more that we would be a people that's committed to loving on one another and encouraging one another. And Father, in so doing, that we would demonstrate our oneness in Christ. Father, there's something You've said over and over again in Your Word, and it's this, that the church ought to be unified. And so, Father, I pray that we would unify behind these two men as You have added them into our fold in the deacon ministry. Father, I pray that we would unify together. We would come across aisles, come across pews this morning, that we would begin to grab one another and pray for one another, encourage one another. Father, this just may be a day that we get to rejoice in not only the idea of this deacon ordination, but maybe there's some relationships in here that need to be healed this morning. Father, there may be some folks that need to cross the aisle this morning for no other reason than to go say, I'm sorry. There may be some folks in here this morning that need to go across the aisle to say, you know what, I need to forgive you. You've asked for forgiveness a long time ago, but I've carried a grudge, and I just need to let that go this morning. Father, maybe this morning that in this time of prayer that there may be some folks that somehow, some way that You have just shared the gospel with them and allowed them to understand their need of salvation this morning and that they would come and make that public this morning. So, Father, we're just going to trust You to do that which only You can do based upon Your promise that if Your word goes out that You'll do with it what You purpose to do with it. So, Father, we thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.